A look inside Everbank Field as the Jaguars prepare for Week 2 in the National Football League. This Sunday at 4:05, the Miami Dolphins come to town. And welcome to Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank. J.P. Shadrick with John Osier inside the team room at Everbank Field. Plenty to get to today. Of course, Week 2 in the NFL. We'll hear from Blake Bortles. He's been a big topic, of course, after the Week 1 game. How does he move forward against Miami? And Roy Miller will join us. Maybe a pregame speech from Roy here on Jaguars.com Live. John Osier is with us now. Let's start, though. It'll be fun to hear from Roy coming up a little bit later. It always is.
Well, it will, and you'll feel good about things You hear from Roy. Speaking of that, a different mood for you, different look in the light. I like it.
Well, I'm just trying to keep up with you, John. That's what we do,
on
a daily basis around here. Let's start with the quarterback. We'll hear from Blake Bortles coming up. It was an opening week struggle for this offense. They had a little bit of something going in the first half, but once the pick six happened, The offense just kind of went stagnant. But you got to move forward from that somehow. How do you do that?
Well, we hear from Blake every week, but I think it's going to be interesting to see what he says today, because on Monday, Gus Bradley said very clearly the offense needed to play with less caution, and that Blake in particular needed to make more throws to give his receivers a chance. You got the feeling that he would have liked Blake to have taken more chances, to have played a little freer. So it'll be interesting to see how Blake says that he'll do that on Sunday. I'm sure that Blake wasn't happy with his performance on Sunday against Carolina, And he needs to play better. I think this is a really big week for Blake Bortles. The whole season's big, obviously. He's a second-year quarterback. But he needs to play a lot better, and you know it's there. You saw it in preseason, and I get that regular season and preseason are different. But he showed things in the preseason that you can't really fake. But he's got to get back to that, because you just look at him and believe he's a better player than he showed on Sunday. But for this offense, he has to show that, and other people do too.
And Blake's got to be the guy that really wills this team down the field. There's not a true salty veteran player on this team, especially a skill guy.
That's a lot to ask of a young guy, But it's what you ask of a quarterback. And the reality for this offense right now, you and I have talked about it some this week, JP, not a lot of veterans in the skill positions right now. Julius Thomas is out, which Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns, Marquise Lee, if he plays – T.J. Yeldon, these are all still second-year guys, which means they're in games 11 through 17 of their careers. Well, guess what? There's not going to be a whole bunch of 50-game guys coming in. These guys have to grow up. They have to make plays. If this offense is going to be what we thought it could be, it's up to these guys, and it's got to happen now.
We could have some injury updates today a little later. Gus Bradley scheduled to speak after practice today, but there could be some good news. Marquise Lee could be back on the field today. Maybe even Cedric Marks. That's good news on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, I would expect, Gus said on Monday, both of them will be limited. I think it's going to be different stages of limited, if you will.
Okay.
I'd be surprised if we see Cedric on the field on Sunday. With that injury, you would think he's going to need some time to rev up, some time to have contact, all those things that you need to play. Marquise Lee, I think there's more of a feeling that he ran last week. It's been talked about from the time Dave Caldwell talked about a couple weeks ago that there would be some caution bringing him back, but that the idea was to have him ready for week two. I know Marquise, the last couple of times you've talked to him the last 10 days, has believed he's ready. He's just waiting on the trainers. Wouldn't be surprising to see Marquise Lee out there. At the same time, with that hamstring, with his history, he's got to rev it up and go. He's got to see it happen. And until that happens, we just don't know.
And you can't go early either. I mean, if he goes early and re-injures it, then you're back to square one.
Yeah, I think it's probably time to see how it's going to run. You know, he ran well last week from what Gus said. It feels like it's getting to be time. But with that, you know, I can't sit here and tell fans who are skeptical that there's not a little bit of skepticism, whatever that word is, in you when you think about that, because that hamstring's been going on a while, but they need him on the field. And if he's on the field, it is a different offense. We'll see what happens.
Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank. J.P. Shadrick, John Osier. We'll go to Blake Bortles' press conference coming up in just a little bit. Another injury that folks will have their eyes on this week is Luke Jokel, the sprained ankle last week. And was out most of the second half, and things changed a lot after he left the game. Four sacks after that point on Blake Bortles. So That's something to watch this week. Will he be ready for this Sunday's game? That's the question.
Yeah, and you don't want to paint it that he was outstanding Pro Bowl level in the first half, right. But he was okay. He got the job done. There was only one sack, and it clearly changed a little bit when he went out. So you saw his value. You saw the reason he's in the starting lineup is, guess what? They start guys for a reason because they're the best player there. You get the idea Sam Young will play better. That usually happens when a guy comes in and he's had a week to prepare, mm-hmm. especially on the offensive line. History shows you that's usually a better situation than just coming in. I think the interesting thing, the thing we have to ask Gus Bradley today, what happens behind Sam Young? I'm not ruling Luke Jokel out, but I'd be surprised if he goes immediately because of that ankle. I don't think it's a long-term deal, but you'd be surprised if this week, that's just a guess. But then what happens behind Sam Young?
Right.
Is it Luke Boenko moving out there? That seems like a big ask of a guy who's never played that position before. But you have to have a backup left tackle. We'll find out from Gus Bradley, you would think, what direction they're leaning.
Defensively, pretty strong game. Gus Bradley said that actually on Monday, that he was very pleased with how the defense played as a whole. But in the very end of it, they just couldn't get off the field on that long, sustained drive. But there was some pass rush, a couple of sacks, mm-hmm. and there was a turnover, too. Those are two keys of emphasis in this offseason.
Well, it was interesting that the thing that stood out to me on that was the veterans you have on defense who you expect to be guys who come through for you. Well, they came through.
Yeah.
Chris Clemens with a sack. Dan Scuda with a sack. Paul Posadzny with a pick, as much as he's criticized in pass coverage. Two big plays in pass mm-hmm. coverage. And, you know, talking to one of the coaches, is a situation with those guys where they don't worry very much if something goes bad. They're veterans. They expect to play well, and they expect to make plays. That's what you get with experience. And those guys are experienced. Going back to what we talked about earlier, that's what has to start happening offensively a little bit, the growth. And I know people are tired of hearing about the youth. That's got to happen offensively. You saw what that can bring you on defense. I expect the defense to keep playing well, keep playing in a professional manner. I don't know they're going to be dominant. But I think you can expect the level of play that you saw the other day. Now, when they start playing better offenses, that's when they have to step up even more.
Now, of course, the Dolphins this week got a 17-10 win in Washington. So, you know, on defense, they've upgraded certainly on the defensive line with Ndamukong Suh coming in there. That's the big key mm-hmm. on defense. There's some pieces on the offensive side, too. They like Tannehill in South Florida as the quarterback. But let's be key. This is not the 72 Dolphins, as you said earlier this week, coming in here. So this is a good opportunity for this Jags team to see where they stand.
Well, it's a Dolphins team and a Dolphins following that believes they're going to be really good. And the pieces are in place to be really, really good. In the NFL these days, though, early in the season, even teams that might be really, really good by the end of the season have things to work out. Some of that's the CBA. Some of that's you get so many pieces coming in. You always hear, well, free agents don't automatically make you better quickly. That's because it takes time for this stuff to come together. The Dolphins last week were very disappointed, even despite winning 17-10. So there is a feeling that maybe they're not all the way together yet. They feel like they can play a lot better than they did last mm-hmm. week. They didn't stop the run very well. You would think there are some things to exploit. I'd be surprised if the Jaguars don't try to run very heavily on offense and exploit that. Although I keep going back to it, on offense, you got to run, but you've also got to make the plays that were there. The big thing against Carolina to me, early on, before that 9-minute mark when the pick happened in the second half,
right.
there was just too much left on the field. There are points there to be gotten, but you can't leave them on the field when you're a young team like this.
Turnover in the red zone, the three drops in the game, the missed field goal, an extra yeah. point, that all adds up.
There were a lot of cases. I know we talked about this a little bit, JP.
Yep.
Every time in the first half the other day, I don't want to go back to that game too much.
We're looking forward.
But every okay. time, there were so many cases in the first half where you came off the field and went, ah, they left that one out there. Well, anybody who's watched the NFL for very long knows when you're saying that for a while, usually in the second half, you're going to hit a point where you say, well, it cost us. So you got to take advantage of opportunities. And I thought that's what happened on Sunday. You didn't take advantage of the opportunities. Now the task for this team, take advantage of it. Play the way that you know you can play. They believe and know they're a better team. They have to show it Sunday.
Jaguars.com Live presented by EverBank. We're awaiting the Blake Bortles press conference. The team is going through a walkthrough on the practice field, and he'll come right into the press room, and we'll carry that for you live right here. J.P. Shadrick, John Osier, glad you're with us today as the Jags get ready for the Miami Dolphins in Week 2. And we talked about this a little bit yesterday, John, on at the pool, actually, poolside with Jaguars.com.
If people haven't seen your shirt, take the time, surf the website. It's worth the look is what I'm saying.
I appreciate that. Thank you. But we talked about this home game coming up this week, and then it's that long road stretch coming up, three consecutive road games for this Jaguars team. Hey, you're going to New England, you're going to, what, Indy in week mm-hmm. four, and you're going to Tampa in week five. That makes – I don't know if you want to look ahead on the schedule too much if you're the Jaguars team themselves, but guess what? This is a very important week.
Well, that's more of a talking point for us, but it's a talking point that's worth talking because I don't know that that three-game schedule is completely unnavigable. But it certainly has New England on it, who won the Super Bowl last year, if you were watching that game.
Yeah, I heard about that.
It's got the Colts, who are the defending division champion. So they're not going to be favored in those games. So it's great for us to talk about. But this team, there's no way they can spend time thinking about that.
That's true.
If you think about that, it's completely overwhelming. And, frankly, the way they played on Sunday, they have the task of figuring out a way to play to their potential and figuring out a way to be as good as they think they are before they even start thinking about a five-game impact or how that's going to play out. It's certainly something that fans have every reason to be anxious about. But for the team itself, the short term, figure out a way to catch balls, figure out a way to kick field goals, figure out a way to play better, get back to what you think you are first. And if you do that, then you can go to these places and have a chance at competing. If you don't do that, then you've got no chance going up there.
It'll be a topic all week long, though, certainly in the media. I'm sure there'll be some questions in the locker room about that, and guys will have that answer. Hey, it's 1 week at a time.
Right.
That's the way that's got to be answered.
See, to me, the big – I don't know how far away we are from Blake talking. I think he's the big story this week.
Yeah.
Did not play the way that he looked or you expected him to look based on the preseason. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a big week for him in that sense. Win, lose, draw in terms of the final score. I think for him, for the players around him, it's a big week for him to come out and play the way that everybody knows he can play. Show it. Do the things you did. Be more confident. Don't worry about maybe one interception. Don't make the read that you made on the pick mm-hmm. six. But if you're throwing the ball downfield and you get a pick 20 yards downfield, he's going to have those. He's a gunslinger. He's a guy who's going to make plays with his feet. So, to me, a huge week for Blake Bortles. You don't want to have huge week 18 games into the guy's career. But for the short term right now, for this 4 or 5 week period we're talking about, he needs to play well, needs to play better.
Here's a question for you, and I don't know if we really want to go here, but I'll ask it anyway. What happens if it doesn't go well for him on Sunday?
Well, then we're talking about the same thing next week.
I think we are. Going into New England. Yeah,
I mean, that's the reality. Yeah, but it's if it happens again this week and he doesn't play well, and again, one point to make is take away the drops. He was 25 of 40 for 240 yards. If that's the worst you get out of a young quarterback, you can live with that and you can build on that. So it's not like it was a complete disaster out of Blake Bortles. I don't want to paint it that way.
He didn't throw four picks. And
right.
You know, yeah.
But there were a couple of the things that you didn't want to see, and I'm sure that he didn't want to see. I'm sure he would say the same thing and probably will. So it wasn't a disaster, but it also wasn't the huge step forward based on preseason that you wanted. So if it happens again this week, like I say, realistically, I'm not going to sit here and say we're not saying the same thing next week. But I think it's important to take a step that you can build on and for him to feel what everybody believed they saw in the preseason and offseason. At some point, you have to see that during the regular season. So that makes this a big week. But as you said, when we're talking to the media and we're doing these things week to week, it's such a week-to-week league that it's hard to say one game is a make or break, but it's important on the front that we just talked about.
Blake Bortles coming up. We'll go to that press conference live whenever the Jaguars come off the practice field for the walkthrough. The full practice coming up a little later today. Of course, we won't show that live. There'll be a little media access. The locker room will be open here in just a few minutes once the team comes off the field for the walkthrough. And we'll have Inside the Jaguars coming up a little bit later to recap the day. Gus Bradley scheduled to talk after the regular practice today, too. So we'll go to Blake coming up. Back on the defensive side, we're going to hear from Roy Miller coming up today. And as we said off the top here, it's the guy you kind of want around because in a week like this, coming off a game like that, he'll make things positive again. He's
Roy
that
always,
kind of guy.
He always has good perspective, and as importantly, he's a good player. Other players listen to him because they know what kind of work ethic he has. They know that he's done it. He's been there. He's a solid veteran. He's I know Paz is the captain on defense, but people listen to Roy. He's a voice that they believe. So for all the theatrics and for all the great speeches, that's all great, but if you can't play, guys kind of roll their eyes at it. He can play, so it has an impact, and he's certainly a guy. It'll be a good segment because he's very good. When you ask him a question, you always get a thoughtful, insightful answer that helps you understand a little more, which for you is important.
Let's go down the hall. Blake Bortles speaking right now with the media.
Regret, and I'm going to look up the source.
You said it would be great. I'm looking at it now. Regrets is R-A-P-A.
That's
great.
Ted is an idiot.
Are you live on the air?
Yeah, battery low.
There's no way that Michael picked that up. He didn't even know.
I didn't even bring a notepad. I'm writing on my hand. What are you doing today? No, I'm fine. Katie's gonna do it for me. She's amazing like that.
When you went back and looked at it, what stood out?
I think missed opportunities. Had some chances to make plays. Want to obviously stay on the field, convert some more third downs. So there were some good takeaways. It was a good learning opportunity. We watched it, make corrections, and we've moved on now to Miami.
How do you handle that with your receivers when they're dropping the ball and stuff like that? Do you feel like you have to kind of get after them, or do you have to sort of coddle them a little bit and say, hey, you'll get the next one?
Yeah, all those guys are awesome. They're unbelievable football players and they're good people. They take a responsibility and great pride in making plays. They're not yelling at me when I throw a ball 5 yards over their head out of bounds, so I'm not going to do the same thing to them when they drop a pass. It's things that we expect from each other, and when it doesn't go the way it's supposed to, we know, there was a mistake made and it needs to be fixed and corrected. So those things, were addressed and we're going to continue to work at it.
Did you guys go in with a script? And if so, were you comfortable with how the script went?
Yeah. We always go in with, the first, however so many plays, scripted. I thought it was a good plan. It was awesome. We wanted to attack them in certain areas. We were able to, kind of do that a little bit. We just, I thought we ran the ball really well. I thought the offensive line and backs played really good. We just had some errors in the passing game, that I think kind of continued to shoot ourselves in the foot, whether it be a drop or a missed throw, or whatever. So we got to try and eliminate those.
Do you envision yourself having to throw a little bit more on the run this week?
He's definitely a guy you gotta plan for. They're a good defense. They got a really good front four, and everybody that they have there. I think we're going to stick to our plan. We got guys up front that we're confident in that can get the job done. And we're going to, stay true to who we are and what we do.
Gus said you felt like the offense and maybe you two didn't respond well after the interception, didn't bounce back as quickly. Why do you think that is?
I think Gus is big on that. He's always preaching, how you respond to adversity. When it comes and what you do after that, and I thought it felt like guys were there. They wanted to make plays. They wanted opportunities. They want the ball in their hands. And we just missed out on them, whether it be a drop or a missed throw or whatever. We didn't kind of capture the moment and didn't get the chance to overcome that adversity.
He also said that, it felt like you guys played cautiously. You feel like that and you want to be more aggressive, take more shots down the field?
Yeah, definitely. I don't know, remember a game really coming out where I didn't say, man, I wish we would have thrown the ball downfield more. I think as a quarterback, you always want to do that. But I think so. I think, as a unit, we want to be more aggressive, kind of make more of a statement of who we are and our aggression.
The Panthers did a really good job being physical with Mercedes. How do you you know, change up how that, how you guys handle that? Like, how is that?
Yeah, you know, I think when stuff like that happens, you got to be able to have other guys step up. You know, when they're, you know, kind of taking him away and doing different things to make sure he's covered, you can't force balls to him. You got to have guys in other areas step up and make plays. You know, and they did a good job with that. We had a couple of things planned for him and that were called, and they, you know, kind of doubled him and comboed him and did all that stuff. So, I mean, we just got to make plays in other areas.
Blake, you talked a little bit about the difficulty of play calling. And if you've been given an opportunity in high school or college to kind of run the offense and call, how difficult is it?
Yeah, I think it's unbelievably hard. You know, I know for me it'd be a lot of all goes. Would probably be the easiest call, and then you can do a lot of things off that. So that'd be my offense. But you know, I think Ole's unbelievable. I think the plan and the preparation throughout the week that he puts together is perfect. You know, it allows us to kind of exploit, you know, what we think our mismatches are and you know how we can get into certain areas. But I mean, I couldn't imagine calling a game. You know, I think that's it's a difficult task for sure.
What is your reaction when you hear fans get on play calling? Because it's a very common lament after a loss.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's like, I don't know. I think it's like a kindergartner saying something to a kid in college.
Is it hard to appreciate how hard it is?
yeah. I think it's something that is unbelievably hard to appreciate. I mean, guys don't. You know, you talk about all the time, you know, coaches in the stands. I think that's at any sport at any level. It's going to happen. There's stuff like that. But, you know, knowing Ole and knowing what he goes through on a week and how much he prepares, you know, he's got us ready and a perfect plan each week.
Like, there was a sense at like 4:15 outside this building of, oh, my goodness, we didn't expect to see that.
Mm-hmm.
Was there any kind of that sense of watching the film back, like, after the preseason, after everything like that?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we didn't expect it either. Every time we step on the field, you know, especially as an offense, especially as the preseason and camp that we had, you know, we expect to go out and execute and put drives together and stay on the field and score points. That's what we expect of ourselves. And anything less than that, you know, is a letdown. You know, so obviously we didn't get that accomplished, you know. And you know, I said it was just little things. You know, it was missed opportunities not taken advantage of. But we're working on it, and we're going
to
be better.
But not enough, oh my goodness, to bail on the plan.
Yeah, no, not at all. You know, everybody trusts the plan, the process, and believes in it 100%. You know, so it was never a time of, you know, guys on the sidelines like, oh no, here we go again. You know, it was I can't wait for the defense to stop them and us to get back on the field and a chance to make a play.
You obviously grew up watching Ndamukong Suh play, so you know that there have been some incidents where, you know, guys have gotten kicked in the groin or stomped. Do you have to be a little bit more vigilant when you play him?
I don't think so. I mean, I think you can't think about stuff like that. I think you got to just go play and let the game take care of itself. You know, I think maybe get up off the ground a little quicker. But besides that, no, it's just it's part of the game. And he's a good player, you know, so he's definitely something that that you got to worry about.
When you watched the pick six again, was there something that stood out to you, or was it pretty much what you thought on Sunday afternoon?
Yeah, it was the same. You know, guy made a good play and jumped the route and, you know, shouldn't have thrown it. You know, obviously, but I think it's just something you do and you learn from and you try to never do again.
What kind of strides did the line make? It seemed like for the most part you had good protection until Luke went down. How'd you feel like it was?
Yeah, I thought they did a really good job. I thought mentally guys were unbelievable. I mean, they didn't bring anything at us that we didn't pick up or weren't in the right spots to protect. You know, so I thought they were awesome there. You know, I think we just got to continue to grow, continue to study, because it was a really good week of preparation. And, you know, talking to some of those guys, I was the most prepared for a football game they've ever been. You know, so we got to continue that and make sure that, you know, carries over week to week.
Is there a sense of Sunday can't get here fast enough to try to get over that kind of a game, that second half?
Yeah, you know, I think for a lot of guys, I know for me, I have a little bit of that feeling. You know, I can't, you know, Gus talks about when adversity or when something strikes that doesn't go your way, you know, you got to have the mindset of wait till you see what I do next time. You know, so I think as a team and definitely as an offense, we have that, you know, with kind of a lackluster performance. We want to get out there and you know, kind of, I guess, show that wasn't who we are and be better. So I think definitely there's a little bit of sense of that, but we got to, you know, stay true to who we are and go through the process and preparation just like we did last week.
Well, it looked like two of the five sacks were coverage sacks. When you looked at the tape again, did you feel like you needed to get the ball out earlier, or is it just sometimes It just works out that way.
Yeah, yeah. There's always, I mean, when you sit there and you watch the film and you can pause it, you can always come up with, you know, tons of different things you could have done, right? But it's, you know, what hits your brain when you're going through the moment in that split second. You know, so there's definitely some stuff I wish I would have done, you know, as far as getting the ball out or maybe, you know, taking off running in certain situations. But I mean, again, I think the offensive line did a good job. I think they protected well and they definitely, passed or ran block well.
Are you encouraged by what you saw out of TJ and how'd you think he handled
his? Yeah, yeah, I thought he was awesome. I thought he ran really well. I thought he saw the field. He was good in protection. And I was excited for him. I thought he did a good job and had a really good day.
You said a couple of times today you're just going to do what you do. But if you don't have Luke Jokel on the left side, can you just do what you do?
Yeah, yeah, I think, you have to. You can't worry about it because I think you let, you know, losing your left tackle affect how you think. You're going to play differently whether you want to or not. So I have all the faith in the world in Sam Young. I think he's a great player. It's an opportunity for him to step up, and I'm excited for him. But, you know, I'll play like, you know, it's Luke or Sam or whoever back there the same.
How was the arm feeling after the first, you know, full game of the season?
Yeah, it feels good. You know, Sundays are definitely the most throws you throw in any day throughout the week, but feels fine. You know, so I think just continue to take care of it.
There's a chance you get Marquise Lee back in the lineup this weekend. Mm-hmm. What would his presence do to open up the offense?
Yeah, I think he's special. I think his speed and his ability to stretch the field, you know, scares defenses at points. I think, you know, he's got the ability to go to the house at any time he touches the ball. So he's definitely a special player, and we're excited to have him back. Thank you.
There you have it, the Wednesday comments of Jaguars quarterback Blake Bortles, and we're joined by defensive tackle, the nose tackle, Roy Miller is with us. Good to see you, man. Thanks for coming in. I know it's this is tough, you know, the week after the loss in week one, but we were talking about it with John Osier earlier. That's in the past now. Wednesday's the day to look forward, and this is the team that can bounce back in week two with a home game here against Miami.
Yeah, no doubt. That's one of the greatest things about the NFL is that, you know, every week you start over, you start fresh, you got a new opponent. No matter how, you know, good or bad you did the last week, you got a new opportunity to go out there and put something different on film. And, you know, the challenge is there. I mean, you got different teams. It's just, it's an exciting thing to go week to week and face different teams and opponents and just take the challenge and play.
The seventh year for you, is this, is every season a routine now for you? What are some of the things early in the season you got to get through here?
Or just early in the season, you know, after playing 7 years, it can get routine, but you always got to, I guess, remember the basis, you know, all the fundamentals that you've learned throughout the years. And, you know, after that, you know, I think, you know, just continue to develop yourself. Just staying humble, I think, is the best part, the best thing about it. And just attacking every day like there's a new opportunity to get better.
You got a lot, you got to balance lives, right? I mean, you got the home life, you got the work life, and for you, we were talking about before we came on here, 5 kids running around. That's quite a balance you have to hold, right?
Man, no doubt. It's like I come here and do what I got to do, and then I go home and I got to transition to being a super dad. And, really, I just got a super wife. You know, she takes care of everything at home, keeps the home tight. And she allows me to be able to come out here stress-free and do all the things that I do. I mean, I got, like you said, 5 kids, and they're all running around doing all different types of things, and that's a handful, so I got to give a lot of props to her.
From 14 all the way down to 1-year-old, that is quite a household for the Millers over there. What are some of the strengths of this Miami team? What do they do well on offense?
Well, start off, you know, they got a great quarterback, and they got a great run game. You know, the quarterback does an excellent job, you know, extending plays. He can run, he can throw, he can do a little bit of everything. He has some weapons. In the run game, you know, that running back they have, he's explosive. He has a great spin move. They have the full deal on offense. And so, you know, it's definitely going to be a challenge. You know, it's similar to last week, but, you know, I think this quarterback's a little bit more athletic, and this run game has the potential to be a little bit more explosive.
You're healthy now, I suppose, right? After a couple of years, the shoulders a couple of years ago, okay. The knee last year. I mean, are you healthy now, fully?
I'm healthy. Knock on wood somewhere. I'm healthy. I feel good. And that's one thing that when you talked about, you know, starting the season off every year, that's one thing I always try not to take for granted. And that's what I mean by being humble is that you never know at what point in time you can get hurt or where things that are out of your control kind of kick in. And so for me, it's always about approaching the game as it's the best opportunity as a humbling experience for me because I've had this, been in the situations where it's been taken away from me, and just not being out there with the team, it just hurts to people, you know, the guys that really put in a lot of work and that care about the team.
Let's go to social media. I know you're a social media guy, right? What's your handle? What is your handle? Roy, underscore, you got some underscores and eyes in there, right?
I thought I changed it to the bald head bully.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
The bald? No. Yeah. We can
I think
you want.
Yeah, I might. Nobody take that. No, it's I think it's Roy underscore Miller underscore three. So it's three eyes.
There you have it. Okay. So check him out on Twitter. I think we actually posted to you earlier that you were going to be on the show. So check that out. We've got some social media questions.
Okay,
this is
cool.
From Stefolis Prime. What inspires you to do the pregame speeches to the team? We see you every Monday, Tuesday, and the sounds of the game and all this on .com here with you doing the pregame speech. Where does that come from?
You know, it's funny. Like, everybody thinks I'm crazy because I can go, like, to, I guess, from 0 to 100 like that. But the weird part about it is all those other guys do the same thing. They go from being the nicest guys in the world to going out there on the field and turning into animals, you know. And everybody thinks I'm crazy because I express that on game day. Yeah. Those guys feel the same way. You know, I just feel like somehow along the way that's something that I've picked up to be able to encourage or influence guys. And I don't know, guys kind of liked it, so I just kept doing it. And I just got a passion for, you know, saying what's on my mind before the game and just doing whatever I can to get the guys riled up.
Oh, do you, like, go in a mirror before and do it to yourself? How does that work? Do you plan these?
No. Well, it's awkward because you can't just go out there. Well, for me, I can't just go out there and just go off the top of my mind. So throughout the week, I might think of something or somebody may say something and or Gus or in a team meeting, and I'll say, you know what, that's something that I want to meditate on throughout the week. And by the time, you know, Sunday rolls around, I take a couple minutes to think about what I'm going to say, and then it just kind of flows. Sometimes I say what I was going to say. Sometimes it just comes off the top of my head.
You can come in the .com office and do that every Monday if you want. It'd be great.
No.
Some more social media questions. This is from Estrada underscore VS. Who is the funniest player on the team besides yourself?
Oh, man. I think Andre Branch.
Really?
Man, that guy has a million jokes. I mean, if you were to come in and say anything about anything he had on or anything about him, he has a million jokes just lined up ready for you. And between him and Sendarik, man, those guys are just naturally just funny guys. They got our room rolling at all times.
That corner of the locker room, something. You and Sin and now Odric in there, the smart guy. I mean, there's that's a lot of personalities there. Clem in there, too. Yeah, that's the way that works. Let's stay with that position group. This is from It Is Marcus. What was your first impression of defensive end Dante Fowler Jr.? What has been your interaction with Dante?
Well, my first impression was the suit that he wore on the draft day, number one. And I just felt like, hey, this would be a little different guy. And he is. He's Dante. I don't know how to explain it, how to measure him up to other guys. You know, he's just himself. He's okay with himself. He's a hard worker. He's kind of like a younger brother, so to speak. Because, I mean, he tries to soak up everything he can from the vets and just take every opportunity he can to get better. And he just likes to hang around the older guys and listen. And like I said, he's just like a little brother, but he's Dante. And that's one thing that I think that's going to help him in the long run. He's coachable, and he has a passion, I think, to take his game to the next level.
Final social media question. This from Instagram, the McLaughlin group asking, what's your game day meal? What do you eat before a game?
You know what? That's a great question. Every game day, I think about this. You think, you know, after playing so long, you know, you kind of got a meal together. It depends.
Years,
I mean, you only have so many options. So normally they have like a spaghetti or something like that that I like to eat. Or maybe if it's in the morning time, I eat like a little egg sandwich or something like that. But the options are limited, obviously, because you don't want to eat too much. Or many keeps a clamp on us, our nutritionist. But just something light, something to get me my energy going for the day. And then I come here and have different shakes and stuff to get going.
Let's finish with this before we let you go here, Roy. I mean, this is a culture around here. Gus and Dave have put this culture in the last couple of years. You're a part of that coming in as a free agent when you first came here and got re-signed now. But how does it take the next step? Because there haven't been a lot of positive results around here. How do you take that next step as a franchise?
You know, I think trust. I think we have to trust each other and guys have to deliver. Obviously, trust is a hard thing, is what I talked about to the team last Sunday. We have to, you know, let loose and trust each other. But a part of that is guys executing. You know, part of trust is, you know, people going out there and earning it and showing you every week and being consistent about it. And I think we have to do that. I think we have the keys. We have all the pieces in place. We just have to go out there and show each other and do it consistently. The first week of the season, you know, everybody likes to get up and down about, you know, the wins or the loss. But mm-hmm. I think that, you know, this week and the next few weeks are going to be big for our team. Last week we seen as a defense, we were able to gain confidence that, hey, we can hold a team to one touchdown. And, you know, and so we take those things with us and we build on top of that. And I think, you know, those confidence builders like that, guys trusting in each other, it just continues to build confidence. And you see a team where a bunch of free agents come together and play together for the first time, and they start gaining confidence and things just start rolling. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, as a team, we just keep playing, keep learning from our mistakes, and just continue to trust each other and let loose.
You can hype us up and you can calm us down at the same time, Roy. We appreciate your time, man. Good to see you.
Thank you.
Roy Miller joining us, Jaguars nose tackle. The Big Cat Convoy is here. Get to Jags games in style and avoid parking fees. They'll provide you with a game ticket and free ride direct to the game and back from local bars and restaurants. Take the Big Cat Convoy and cruise over in style. Get your tickets now at jaguars.com/convoy. That will do it for Jaguars.com Live. Our thanks to John Osier. You had Blake Bortles. Our great thanks to Roy Miller as well. And for everyone involved, this is JP Shadrick. We'll see you next time. Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank.